The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Daily Hammer, your daily source of news when it comes to the Atlanta Braves as part of the Talking Chop Podcast Network. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are, wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your Thursday. Obviously, the Braves had a huge game last night against the New York Mets, coming off a big victory and another offensive outburst on Wednesday evening to put themselves in a position to where, with two games left against the Mets, you had to feel there was certainly some momentum going into a matchup where the Braves clearly had the pitching upper hand when it came to Max Fried. Here's the latest, including last night's results from Atlanta. So obviously Max Fried took the mound for the Braves, and you had to feel with how the Braves perform on Wednesday night, especially with how well Austin Riley has been at the plate as of late, the Braves certainly had the upper hand. But the problem is that the Braves have been so up and down, Jekyll and Hyde, inconsistent, especially when it comes to not taking advantage of early run scoring opportunities. One game, they'll do it all game long. The next, they'll struggle for the entire stretch of the contest. Unfortunately, that returned on Thursday evening. The Braves had their chances early in the second inning of last night's game. The Braves were able to get two runners on in the top of the second inning, but unfortunately, a well-hit ball by Guillermo Heredia was not able to land in a spot that was going to be able to allow for the Braves to be able to score a run, and then unfortunately, the Braves could not take advantage of a great spot that they were in the second inning, and despite having runners on first and second with no outs, the Braves did not get a run scored. The game remained scoreless until the bottom of the third inning, when Jeff McNeil of the Mets was able to hit an RBI single to left field. Pitcher Tyler McGill scored. Obviously, the Mets were able to get a run on the board. Thankfully, Max Fried was able to work around a bases-loaded situation, and he kept the Mets at only one run. Well, after that, the game became a pitching duel between both Max Fried and Tyler McGill. But thankfully, in the top of the sixth inning, the Braves once again were able to rely on the guy who's stepping up to be the Robin to Freddie Freeman's Batman in the month of July. Austin Riley connected with his 20th home run of the year. A night after having two home runs and six RBIs, the best offensive night of Austin Riley's young career came on Wednesday night. He backed it up with a huge home run in the top of the sixth inning to tie the score at one apiece. Unfortunately, though he held the Mets scoreless in the bottom of the sixth inning, Max Fried did come out once again in the bottom of the seventh inning, and he allowed a home run to Brandon Drury that allowed for the Mets to take a 2-1 lead. It was an unfortunate ending on an otherwise great evening for Max Fried. Overall, Max Fried, through seven innings, he allowed five hits, two runs, including a home run, two base on balls, but nine strikeouts, and of his 167 pitches, Max Fried had a strike-to-ball ratio of 67-39. Obviously, a start you'll take all day long. Unfortunately, the Braves could not take advantage despite having clearly more chances than the Mets. The Braves could not take advantage, and Max Fried left the game after the seventh inning with a 2-1 disadvantage. However, The Braves were able to come up and try to create another opportunity in the top of the eighth inning. When it came to the Braves and their eighth inning offense, you know, we've talked about it before. At the beginning of the season, they struggled at times. But thankfully, here as of late, they've started in with support from their bullpen to be a bit more competitive late in games. And both Jock Peterson and Ozzie Albies were able to take advantage of singles and get on base at first and second for the middle of the Braves order. Unfortunately, once again, just like in the second inning, the Braves could not take advantage of it. Though Freddie Freeman advanced both Peterson and Albies to second and third with one out in the top of the eighth inning, Austin Riley then struck out swinging, and Dansby Swanson grounded out to end the eighth inning. Another opportunity. Twice in this game, the Braves had runners on first and second with nobody out and did not get any runs to show for it. Thankfully, in the bottom of the eighth inning, Chris Martin came on, and he hopefully is starting to show that he's getting back into form, keeping the Mets silent and keeping the score 2-1 Mets going into the top of the ninth inning. Well, in the top of the ninth inning, the Braves' bottom of the order, which had struggled all game, finally decided that it wanted to get a rally going. In the first at-bat, Abraham Almonte hit a ground rule double, once again allowing for the Braves to have a runner in scoring position with zero outs. The problem is that right after that, the Braves once again could not take advantage. Guillermo Heredia flew out to right field, not being able to advance the runner. The next batter up was Ire Adrianza, who hit a single into right field. It felt like it was going to give the Braves a good chance to tie the game, but an excellent throw from Michael Conforto allowed the Mets to be able to get the ball to the plate before Almonte, and though the play was reviewed, it was clear that he was out, and the Braves were kept off the scoreboard with two outs, and the Mets were able to preserve their 2-1 lead. When the final at bat, Pablo Sandoval, who certainly has struggled as of late, actually had a very good at bat against Edwin Diaz, and he got a pitch that he could drive to left field. Unfortunately, it went right to Kevin Pillar, and that ended the game. Just an incredibly, incredibly unfortunate loss in what was a significant game for this Braves team. The end result was another night in which the Braves offense was unable to take advantage of clear opportunities in support of another strong pitching performance from Max Fried. Austin Riley certainly did his job, but the Braves' unfortunate ability to get big hits, timely hits, in positive situations, once again came back to haunt them in a game that they really needed to win. Yes, at the end of the day, it's only one game. You have the opportunity tomorrow to go 5-4 through this 9-game and 8-day stretch. But when you really think about it, the frustrating part of this Braves team is that over this stretch, they've scored 7, 15, and 12 runs in games, but they also have gone through stretches where they went between Sunday and Monday, they only allowed 3 runs to the Phillies and Mets and went 1-2 in those games. And then obviously tonight, passing up on 3 glorious opportunities to score and not having to run to show for it. The inconsistency, the boom or bust aspect of this Braves offense is something that certainly must be figured out. The season's not over. It certainly feels like there's less room to continue with this Jekyll and Hyde approach. Consistency has to show up at some point. But the thing about it is for the Braves is that it's clear now the starting pitching is doing its job. The bullpen is starting to come into form. It's the offense, and especially the need to find some sort of consistency at the bottom of the order. At times, it's great. It's awesome to see this offense click when it does, but it's so up and down at times, it's hard to put belief in this team as it's currently constructed on offense to be able to make up the room that it can, especially now with the low amount of games it has left against the Phillies and the Mets coming up throughout the rest of this season.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, We provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So obviously the Braves now find themselves with one game left against the Mets and Drew Smyly on the mound tomorrow. They now find themselves having gone 4-4 through this season-defining 9 games in 8 days stretch. And they have the chance tomorrow to be able to win the series against the Mets and be within 4 games of the Mets going forward. Obviously, it's not the worst scenario when you look at the possible outcomes, but certainly feels like a missed opportunity with how close and with how well-positioned the Braves were to win one or two more games that clearly could have put them right there with the Mets and Phillies going forward. It's going to be interesting to see what the approach will be when it comes to the Braves. A gut feeling of many, and I think that it's accurate, including myself, is that the Braves will make an addition somewhere. They may even make multiple additions. A couple of moves on the margins, maybe another outfielder that they can utilize in matchups to support the roster that they have, but also the lack of quality that they have right now in the outfield outside of Jock Peterson, and then perhaps a bullpen arm to get a fresh arm that has had some type of success in the past to give the Braves another option to where if they could make a run, they at least have reinforcements that can improve the overall product to increase consistency, which is the biggest thing this Braves team needs right now. Now, not only could moves happen at the deadline, but you also have some encouraging news, as I had mentioned earlier this week. This weekend, Braves catcher Travis d'Arnaud will actually be making his rehab assignment, will actually begin his rehab assignment as the Gwinnett Stripers are visiting in Memphis. He will start his rehab assignment. Hopefully, we'll be back by early August. Hopefully, it won't take long for him to be back. Certainly, will be a good development as Kevon Smith and Stephen Vogt have not at all been able to find some sort of offensive output that is going to allow for the Braves bottom of the order to support the top of the order to make this Braves offense as consistent as it needs to be. Obviously, Waskar Yanoa also should be getting his rehab assignment started either last night or in the coming days. He should be able to perform well on that rehab assignment. Will be interesting to see whether he comes back as a starting option with how well Kyle Muller and Tuki Toussaint have pitched in the starting rotation, but at the very least, the quality talent that is Yanoa's arm certainly will be a nice addition to this Braves roster when it comes to their pitching. At the end of the day, with where this Braves team is, with the fact that they're as inconsistent as they have been, and with the fact that they likely have passed their best opportunities to really get within striking distance of the Mets, you're now to the point to where without playing the Mets and Phillies directly as many times as you would like, you're expecting this Braves team to all of a sudden figure it out and be able to play significantly better at a significantly better pace than they've shown at any point this season in order to get back into the division race. Without some type of move that doesn't necessarily make sense, that would be outside uncharacteristic at the very least of Alex Anthopoulos, I just don't see, unless you just have several players who certainly get on hot streaks like you had, at times from different players earlier this season, unless just, multiple offensive players and multiple bullpen members get on hot streaks at the same time, it's really hard to see this Braves team being able to have the opportunity to get back in the race, barring any type of unexpected collapse from the Mets and Phillies. I'm not saying the season's over. I'm just saying that it's going to be much harder than it could have been if the Braves were able to take advantage of getting a few more wins over this stretch of play. Obviously, the Braves can certainly minimize the impact of this loss with the win later on today as Drew Smyly takes the mound in Citi Field for the series finale against the Mets. Doesn't really get any easier over the weekend as the Braves will be facing the Milwaukee Brewers and then after that, the St. Louis Cardinals. However, towards the, once hopefully we can get Travis d'Arnaud back, towards the beginning and middle of August, the Braves do have a good stretch of opportunity where they can make up some of this ground, hopefully, by getting together a good stretch of winning against teams like the Nationals and the Marlins and so on. So opportunity certainly lies in front of the Braves. The season is not over. Their chance of getting back in the race is not over, but it does feel like you're going to need for this team to perform a lot better than it has over a significant stretch, especially with the fact that it has not taken advantage of a direct opportunity over the past few days against the Phillies and Mets. Certainly will be interesting to see what the Braves will do at the trade deadline. That obviously is coming up over the weekend. We will have you covered throughout all of it. Rumors, transactions, whatever transpires on the field or off of it to support the Braves on the field, we'll have you covered here at the Talking Chop Network. You can find all the great work at Talking Chop at TalkingChop.com, at Talking Chop across social media. Make sure to listen to all the great podcasts as part of the Talking Chop Network, the Talking Chop Podcast with Brad Rowan and Scott Coleman, as well as the Road to Atlanta Podcast with names like Eric Cole, Garrett Spain, and Matt Powers. My name is Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure being with you. Hope that you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Daily Hammer.